Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be learning Nehemiah Perek Yud Aleph, the 11th chapter of the book of Nehemiah. Our Perek is going to deal with three different issues. One is the tithe of people, the people who are going to be assigned to live in Yerushalayim. We're also going to hear about those who lived in Yerushalayim from the days of yore, and we're going to hear about those who settled in various villages and towns around Yehuda and Binyamin. Let's start at the very beginning. The first two psukim in Perek Yud Aleph describe how there are the people who are the Sarei Ha'am. Those are the chieftains of the people who we already listed in the last Perek, are going to live in Yerushalayim. And there was a lottery which was filled to reassign 1/10 of the people to live in Yerushalayim and the other 9/10 to live outside Yerushalayim in the settlements. And describes how the people gave a blessing to all these volunteers who decided to stay in Yerushalayim. Let's just get a sense of what's going on here. What is this lottery about? So if you reverse back to Perek Zion in Nehemiah, you will remember that Nehemiah was dealing with an issue that the city of Yerushalayim was empty. Ezra Chavas Yadayim, there was not so many houses. It was, in a certain sense, abandoned. This is probably under the state of security at the time, where there were so many attacks and riots that were going on and the walls of Yerushalayim were not built. Upon rebuilding the walls of Yerushalayim, upon creating a spiritual revolution with Ezra, at this point in time, Nehemiah now puts into action what he did beforehand. He pulled up a census, and now he makes this lottery that 1/10 of the people are going to live in Yerushalayim, which will provide both physical and spiritual security. It should be worthwhile, and it should not be lost upon us, to note that, as Rosh Hashanah points out, that the original division of the land at the times of Yehoshua was done via the process of goral, of lottery. It should be no coincidence that there now, at this point in time, the division of the land under Nehemiah, under the strong leader, is also done via the goral, via the lottery, almost in a certain sense, inviting the Almighty, the Ribbono Shel Olam, into the process of division of the land. In the second pasuk, we notice that the people who are misnadvim, who are volunteering, are getting blessings from the people. But that doesn't make sense if they were simply the ones the lottery was cast upon. Meaning to say, if the reason they're going is because they chose to, that's one thing. But if they are simply being chosen out of the hat, why should they be deserving of bracha? So the Malbim points out that there are two groups of people. They were the 1/10 of the people who are reassigned, and they're the people who actually on their own volition decided they're going to move to the city. Now, why is moving to the city such a big deal that people give a bracha to them? So Gemara in Ksubos, based on the Mishnah on Daf Kuf, describes whether a couple, whether a husband can move one's wife, his wife, to a place which is of a lesser quality of life. And so the Mishnah describes, Lamir lekrach, v'lamir krach leir. A man cannot force his wife, in this case, one side of the marriage cannot force the other side of the marriage to dwell in a place which is of a lesser quality of life. So Gemara says, I understand. If a man meets a woman and she is a city girl and he wants to bring her back to his little village, you understand why he can't move her to the village because there's so many fewer amenities in the village. But let's say it's the other way around. Let's say it is a village girl and a city guy. Why is there a problem, the Gemara asks, for bringing her to the city where there are more shops, there are more availabilities, there are more amenities that are in the city? And the Gemara there answers, and so quoting our pasuk in Nehemiah, that the people blessed the misnadvim because it was a big deal. What's the big deal? Rashi adds, and he says something which is really, which is still relevant to today. He says, you know, in the end of the day, in a city, call me Siyashun Shom, it's so busy, but doch kim miskarvim abatim zuluzu. There's no gardens, it's just like apartment buildings. It's so close together. There's not really good air. But in the villages, yesh ganoy, so pardesim, smuchim lebatim vaviron, yafet, it's good air, there's space, there's gardens, and that's why this is the case. So it's beautiful, very beautiful description. There was a certain sacrifice which is being made, even going from those beautiful suburban cities to Yerushalayim itself. Let's go a little further. Now we hear about the citizens of Yerushalayim in three groups. We hear about the Yisraelim from Psukim Gimel to Yutes, where of whom there are 468 Anshei Chayil, strong men from Yehuda, 928 from Binyamin. We then hear about the citizens of Yerushalayim who are the Kohanim from Psukim Yud to Yudalid, in which we hear about 822 working Kohanim. One family, Amashai, is has singled out as having 242 kohanim in his family, and the guards of Yerushalayim 128 men. And then we hear about the final and last group, which is the Levim and others, Mesinim as well, who are from Sukkim Tezvov to Chav Dalet. In this section we hear about 248 Levim, and at the gates we have 172 of them acting as Sho'arim, as guards. That's 7 days, say 7 per group, 24 watches, plus the 4 head guards gives us 172. And we hear about all the different people who are living in Yerushalayim. This is really essentially, this entire list is an honor roll of those who are living in Yerushalayim. We hear about at the end of this in Pasuk Chav Gimel, Ki mitzvas ha-melech aleihem. The reason why it's important that they're taking their posts is because the king's command is upon them, Bamano al Hamishorim, Devar Yom Biyomar, and there is a agreement upon them for their service day to day. What does that mean? There's this agreement, who's the king is commanding? So if you recall in Sefer Ezra, there was a deal struck in which the king got granted funds towards the Beis HaMikdash and the daily upkeep. In order to maintain that funding, they needed to provide a accounting of their needs and costs. So this is what's being referred to over here, is that they're providing how many karbonos, what was involved, so that they can bill the government for this, which is a remarkable arrangement. The Mamre says that the Mitzvah Samelach does not refer to the Mitzvah Samelach of the Persian king, but it refers back to the setup and the structure that was established by David HaMelech originally about having different groups of those who are serving in the Beis HaMikdash. So it goes all the way back, says the Malbim. Just a few questions on these lists in general. What is this referring to? Is this referring to those after the lottery who came to Yerushalayim, or is this referring to before the lottery of the repositioning of people? So there are those, the Da'at Mikra points out, Rav Mordechai Zer Kavod points out, that there were those who say that this list refers to those who have now been reassigned to Yerushalayim. He says that doesn't make sense for a number of reasons. First of all, if you look at the names of some of the leaders in Yerushalayim on this honor list, we see names like Shabtai, Yozavad, Matanya, Avda. These are all people who actually come from the times of Zerubbabel and Yeshua Kohen Gadol. So these are earlier names. Number two is also the chief of the city of Yerushalayim, Sar Ha'ir, is called Yehuda ben Hasnua. But at the times of Nehemiah, he already appointed his brother Hanani as the head of Yerushalayim. So it doesn't make sense. This list probably is a list of those who originally settled in Yerushalayim, Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. In fact, as another proof can be rallied, is in fact that this entire list, is actually doubled in Sefer Divrei Yomim Aleph Perek Tes, where it goes through this entire list. And if you read that list over there, the first or the second pasuk in Perek Tes in Divrei Yomim Aleph is Hayoshvim Harishanim Asher Ba'achuzasam Barihem. This is the list of those first ones when they settle down in their property and in their cities. So what does the Rishonim mean? So says the Da'at Mikra of Mordechai Zer Kavod that we're referring to over here. The fact this is the original establishment of Yerushalayim, which Nehemiah is giving honor to. Why is the list repeated in Divrei Hayomim and Sefer Nehemiah? So Rashi says because there are discrepancies on both sides, and the only way to really get to the truth is to compare and contrast the one to another, and to be able to get at the combined unity, the combined and perhaps more correct by putting the two together. The Mavim says that the one in Divrei Hayomim is written by Ezra, because Divrei Hayomim is written by Ezra, and this is written by Nehemiah. Nehemiah lived a little bit later, so he was able to add on certain details because he had more retrospect. We go to the third and last part of our perek now, which are psukim chafei to lamed, and then lamed aleph to lamed vav, in which we hear about the settlements both in Yehuda and the settlements in Binyamin. So it's describing what the names of the villages were outside of Yerushalayim. So in the description of the villages of Yehuda, the towns of Yehuda, we have 17 towns listed, you know, Kiryat Arba, Divon, Kavtzael, Yeshua, Moilada, Beis Pelet, Chatzar Shual, Be'er Sheva. We had a whole bunch of these names of these settlements. And in the tribes, the settlements of Binyamin, we hear about another 15 towns. Anasos, Nov, Ananya, Chatzar, Ramah, Getayim. So you hear about all these different settlements. It is interesting to note that the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Gimel Amud Beis points out that the conquest of the times of Ezra was a whole lot more humble than the conquest of the times of Yehoshua. Meaning when those who came from Egypt entered the land the first time around, they conquered far vaster amounts of territory than those in this time. And in fact, if you look at this, Rosh Hashanah points out that the southernmost reach of these the described villages over here is Beersheba, and the furthermost reach is really in the area of Binyamin, which is sort of centerland, heartland Israel, which is not a very large area. However, it should be worthwhile noting that many Tanakhic sources, the Sifrei and Parshas Akev, there's a number of Brises point out that in fact there were many more villages under the control, many more towns much further north. In fact, even up as far as Akko and Caesarea were part of the Kidshah Shniyah of Ezra, which means the second sanctification of the land under Ezra, and this is relevant for the purposes of Trumas and Maaseros, because the second sanctifying of the land under Ezra, in fact, dictates where today the lines of Trumas and Maaseros are, where we say is in Israel or is not in Israel proper for the sake of taking Trumas and Maaseros. And we have many, many more towns and villages which are included. In fact, in the Diet Mikra Atlas, it goes through and it shows you tens upon tens of many more towns listed during the second Bais period, not just those conquered by the Hasmoneans. These are before the Hashmonaim. So for instance, even if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll notice that you have Antignos Ish Soichai. Isn't that interesting? So he comes from a place called Soichai. Yosei, one of the Yoseis who is one of the Zugos, is from Tzereda. We hear about Shechem in a number of Tanakhic sources, where we see these are pre-Chashmonaim period, where we have people settling in villages which are not listed here in Sefer Nehemiah. What accounts for this? So Rav Schwab suggests that these could have been settled by the people who are not from Yehuda and Binyamin. This perek is focusing most prominently on Yehuda and Binyamin, which could account for most of the people, but there were certainly other people from other tribes who came back as well. In fact, the Seder Olam Rabbah notes that there is a gap of accounting for the 12,000 among those who came up originally who are not attributed to Yehuda and Binyamin, and it can be referring to, in fact, those 12,000 who could also be settling in other villages and extensions and towns which were part of this settlement. If we go back and remember that when they first arrived in Yerushalayim, they brought 12 Seirei Chatos, 12 sacrifices of a chatos for each of a sin offering for each of the tribes. That means to say that there were certainly constituents of all 12 of the tribes who are coming back as well, which therefore perhaps accounts for some of the other and many towns that are also part of this greater kingdom, although much more humble in the times of Yoshua, but certainly much more expansive than simply just the towns that are listed under Yehuda and Binyamin at this point. This closes Perek Yud Aleph. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.